parents, no, no, no. We thought we would make it a little bit more difficult for the little kids to say no. So instead of telling our children no, we would say, no, thank you. Now that required them to understand the whole phrase, but it made it more difficult for them to repeat it early so that one of the first words weren't, no, thank you. And so that helped us a little bit until they started getting a little bit older and they got to the point where they would be able to say no thank you in the most intense ways to each other. But it did slow down that process of making no a major thing in the vocabulary. Another word that we were concerned about was the word mine. Oh, we would have individuals that would try to help us out and we made little pillows for each of our children and they would, actually we didn't, Marty did, and that was their comfort pillow that they would take with them. And on occasion, one of our friends would take the pillow away from them and say, mine, in teasing. And of course they didn't really quite understand that concept because we tried to encourage them that the word mine wasn't a necessity in their vocabulary. In other words, we would say, no, that's Jesus and he's sharing with you. This is Jesus' pillow, and he's sharing with you so that you can be responsible for it and care for it. That, too, worked out very well in the younger age until they got a little bit older, and then it started when they wanted to fight over some toys. It would say, there wouldn't be, that's mine, it's Jesus's, and he's sharing with me now, you know, kind of a thing. So you can't get away from the whole heart issue, but there's sometimes some things that you can do to try to cut it down a little bit. We had one other situation that was kind of humorous. Our kids had gone over to a home with that invited us over for Thanksgiving, and they had relatives over there from out of state, and our children were upstairs playing with their children, and one of the one who owned the house started saying, "This is mine," you know, didn't want anybody else to play. Well, you know what happened after that with one of our children. Nuh-uh, it's Jesus and he's sharing with you. Well, that didn't go over really well because they're trying to figure out what's going on there. Well, the point of our message today is we're going to talk about this situation that we have sometimes of wanting to say mine, but realizing, no, it's Jesus. And he's sharing with us. God has blessed us in just a short period of time. It wasn't just a little over 6 years ago we were having a dedication service. I wasn't here, but you folks who were here had dedication service for what this portion that we're in right now. And now, just a little over 6 years later, we're going to have a dedication service for another section of the building behind us. In between that time, we had the privilege of gathering together and rejoicing over the nearly 5 acres that we were able to take on as for future growth. And it's very tempting as believers to say, well, this is ours. And fail to recognize that indeed everything that we have is indeed God's and it's for His glory. And so the question comes to this. We want to be stewards. We want to be stewards. A steward is one who takes care of something for someone else. And the question is, how do we become a successful steward? I want to draw our attention to an Old Testament story from the Bible that it gives the account of one of my favorite Bible characters, that by the name of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph had it kind of rough at home because he was torn between being the favored son and being the least favorite brother. And so he was stuck between this type of situation where his son, where his father treated him so well, but his brothers treated him so poorly. So much so that they got to the point where they wanted to get rid of him. They were at the point of wanting to kill him, but they figured he was better, worth more alive than dead. So they sold him into slavery so that he could be somebody else's piece of property. That's what introduces what we find in Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 through 6. For one of the things that you'll learn about Joseph, of the many wonderful characteristics about the man, is you'll learn he was a wonderful, successful steward. By the way, he gives us almost the definition of what a steward is. Joseph has been transplanted. He's an alien in this land called Egypt. He's put under the service of a man by the name of Potiphar. And we pick up in verse 2 of chapter 39 of Genesis. It says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Now think about that. Here's someone who is a slave. He's a servant. He's in bondage to someone else. And God calling him successful. Does that match your definition of success? We think of success, that would be Potiphar. That would be the one who owns somebody who's going to tell what to do. But here we see God says that Joseph was indeed a successful man. That there is some way that as we bring ourselves into that position that God has told us that we should be as stewards, that we too can be successful men and women for God. Look what else it says. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him, that he made him an overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. The definition of a steward. Potiphar took that which he owned and put it under the authority of someone else. Now, interesting, he didn't put it under the authority of someone that he found out through some kind of headhunter to find out who was the most educated, trained person in Egypt. He didn't find somebody who had been working, not even anybody who grew up in his own house. He took an alien, someone who was totally unrelated, that someone who was a slave, and made him the steward of his whole house and everything that he had. We'll look at a little more detail what that all entailed, but let's move on to verse 5. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, in another word, it describes his relationship and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Here in a situation where Potiphar has had entrusted Joseph so much that he gave him the opportunity of having these things. That first word we look at is that all these things were the master's. It says the master chose to share his possessions and power. That these were things that belonged, for the sake of not saying Jesus and it belong, and he's sharing with you. Okay, we go back to, but for the sake of the world's sense, everything that Potiphar had belonged to him. Okay, it didn't belong to Joseph. Potiphar was the one who owned it. From our perspective, but yet he chose to share his possessions and power with Joseph. Let's look at the next verses. Verse 8. Look. Now, verse 7 has a little bit of an interlude where Potiphar's wife wants to get involved physically, sexually with Joseph, and Joseph is responding to this seduction. And in this response, we find out a little bit more about what Joseph believes in regard to stewardship. He says, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. Another way of saying my master's clueless. Another way of saying my master has entrusted me with so much stuff that he doesn't even care what is going on in here because he knows he can trust me. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Look at three key words in here. First of all, is that word entrusted. The master does not know what is going on in the house. That the Potiphar had such an entrusting attitude towards Joseph that he is willing to let him have charge of the ledger, have him charge of everything that was had to be done, all the major decisions that took place, all that took place. And as we looked at earlier, the only thing that Potiphar kept track of is mealtime. You don't know what's on the menu. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's nice to have other people make decisions for you. Wouldn't it be wonderful for someone else to make all your financial decisions for you? Not forever, but just for a time. Someone else to take the heat for different decisions that you make, something like that. That's what Potiphar did. He took and he traded this all onto Joseph's lap. And Joseph was the one who was responsible because he was entrusted. The second word we want to look at is that he was equipped and he has committed all that he has to my hand. Joseph was equipped to do what he had to do. Potiphar didn't say, come into my house, make it run, but I want you to make sure that anything you do, it has to go by me. I want to initial everything. I want everything to be done. I want to question everything that you've done, and so on and so forth. No, he equipped him, giving him the authority, giving him what he needed to accomplish what he wanted to have done. Third word, we find out that Joseph has emphasized here is he is empowered. He says, no one is greater in this house than I. He not only had what he needed, but he had the authority to do what he needed to. Well, let's look at our outline for this morning and how that we can succeed. First of all, let's succeed with God's possession. It says, all things belong to God. We can see that from Scripture in the Psalm. It says, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell therein. That we know that regardless how much sweat, how much work, how much money we have doled out for anything, it all belongs to God. He is the creator of all. He owns all. Another portion of Scripture in the New Testament states this. Colossians chapter 1, it says, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. This is where we get the fact that it's not mine. It's Jesus, and He's sharing it with me. That we recognize whether it's this building, whether it's our building back at home that we want to call our castle, whether it's our vehicles, whether it's even our children, or whatever it might be that we want to be tempted to call mine. The Bible says all things were created by Him and all things were created for Him. He is the possessor of all things. All things belong to God. But look again back at Genesis. In verse 5, as we just look at that slide once again, if you are in book of Genesis 39, verse 5, when we look at that little box there, that shows that God is interested, even though He owns all things, He's interested in sharing that with us. He's interested in sharing the responsibility of carrying these things. That goes way back to when God put Adam and Eve in the garden. God could have said, Adam, these are my animals, keep your hands off them. I'll make sure that they're fed, I'll make sure everything is going right. These are my plants, you just sit around, look, but don't touch. Now, from the very beginning, God gave Adam responsibility within the garden. To be accountable, to take care of them, to name the animals, assume the plants as well, to take care of the things that need to be, to tend to it. From the very beginning, God intended to share His possessions with us. That we recognize they are His, but He wants us to be stewards to care for them. As we take on the consideration of the possession of this building, it would be very easy to say, poor God, it's your building, take care of it. No, He's called us to take care of it. It's His, but we're responsible to care for it as good stewards. Joseph couldn't get by with that with Potiphar when he ran into a thorny situation and say, oh man, this is bad. I don't want to mess with it. Well, I don't get paid enough to deal with these kind of situations. We'll let it go up to the head honcho and he can care for it. No, Joseph recognized as a steward He had the responsibility of caring for the thing. God sharing His possessions with us so that we can be able to use them for Him, that we can accomplish what He wants. Look at those words that just are emphasized in yellow. All the time that He had made Him overseer of His house and all that He had, encouraging us to realize Potiphar recognized these were His things, but he entrusted Joseph to care for them and expected Joseph to care for them. We go on to look at the second thing that can help us to be successful. Not only are we to recognize that these possessions of God are things that we ought to be willing to take on as our responsibility, not as ownership, but recognizing that we're responsible to care for them for God, is to succeed by God's provisions. All ability to be successful actually belongs to God. Oh, it's so easy for us to come to the conclusion that we're a self-made man or a self-made woman, that we have scraped and fought and done all that we can to get what we have, and that we can be like the king in Babylon and say, look at this great kingdom that I have accumulated to myself. It makes me look good. I have done well. I just need a little bit longer arm so I can pat back there just a little bit better. And how typical that is up to us on a smaller degree, maybe, where we get to the point where we look at that hard-earned cash that we have, those possessions that we have, and say, I did it. I arrived. I worked hard. I sacrificed this. I sacrificed that. Look at Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18. God knew what we were like back from the very time when He started working with the people of Israel. He took them out of Egypt and He placed them into, He's planning to put them into the promised land, and they were going to be prosperous and they were going to be successful. And they were going to have a lot of great things, and God warned them right away. And He says this in Deuteronomy 8. He says, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. That when we get tempted to say, this is something that I accomplished, as we as a church say, look at the great building that we have built, and recognize that we would have nothing, we could do nothing, we would have no capacity to earn and to have that available to give if it weren't for God. There are individuals who are on the fast track of their business towards success, and in the midst of that fast track, their health has turned completely 180. And they lost the opportunity to earn and to have that which they so desire. There's individuals who have invested in great things, only have a stock market or something else, just flip upside down, and they lost everything that they have. Folks, any ability, any opportunity, anything that takes place is all by the grace of God. We do not deserve the things that we have. If we got what we deserved, we'd be in trouble. The wages of sin is not gold and silver and all that type of stuff. The wages of sin is death. And we are all sinners, the Bible tells us. And if we got what we deserved, we'd be in trouble. But God in His grace provides these various things. So God wanted to share with the people in Deuteronomy, the people of Israel, just before they're embarking on this new land and getting a chance to go in there, and their heart would be tempted to want to say that they were the ones who accomplished this. Your God, for it is He who gives you power to get well. Let us not forget, when we talk about stewardship, that the reason that we can be a good steward, the reason we can have things and even abilities do what we do, is because of God. And without that, we could be nothing. Look what we find in that review of Joseph's life. Joseph, in response to Potiphar's wife, again, those three words, God has entrusted me. God has equipped me. God has empowered me. God has done all these things. God has allowed me to be able to do these things. It even says in the text that Joseph would not have been successful if it wasn't for God's blessing. God is the one who had impacted the life of Joseph, and Potiphar even recognized that, to say that it was amazing that God was with him, so I will use this man to take care of my things. Interestingly, as you look at that last phrase again, it says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? This last part of accountability, of recognizing that we are accountable, or expected, if you want another E, if you have to have an E in this outline there, expected to perform in a certain way. We are expected to accomplish things to please God. Joseph was very conscious of the fact. He could say, I am empowered. No one is greater in this house than I. If you think about that, no one's greater in this house than I. The statement that he made, he was talking to an individual there. He was actually saying, I am in a greater position than you, to Potiphar's wife. I don't know how else to take that. No one's in a greater position than I. But yet he recognized to partake of that and take that for granted and take that and use it in a way that wasn't designed to be would be a sin. It would be a wickedness for one thing, but it would be a sin against God. Joseph recognized the balance. So many times when power and opportunity comes into our hands, it clouds our judgment. Joseph recognized where he was. No one was empowered any more than him, and he knew it. You know, for most of us, that would be dangerous. If we thought we were the top dog and no one would do anything about what we did, no one could question what we did and we'd get by with it, how would we do? Real test of integrity, isn't it? That if we wouldn't have to be accountable to anyone else, but Joseph recognized, regardless of what step he was in Potiphar's house, he was still under God. He was still responsible to God. He was still answerable to Him, and he could not do this sin against his God. Third way to succeed is to succeed for God's purposes. Recognizing that this accountability we just talked about is under the concept of pleasing God. The priority is to please God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. One of the most important things that we do, whether we're eating, whether we're drinking, whether we're working, whether we're giving, whether we're spending, whether we're just involved with whatever activity, God says do it all for His glory. Do it for Him. That only makes sense. All things were created by Him and all things were created for Him. So it only makes sense that we should do it. And if we want to be a successful steward, a servant that's going to have the same kind of success as Joseph did, we've got to recognize that it's not for me. It's not for you. It's for Him. And that those things that I do, whether it's involved with my work or my projects or my hobbies, have to be given over to God. Another concept on this says all stewardship decisions can be spiritual decisions. All spending decisions can be spiritual decisions. We'll be looking at over the next few weeks, talking about money. But you know what? I'm not going to talk about your money. You know why? Because it all belongs to God. Right? We're talking about money, and God talks about money as much as He does most anything else in the Scripture, because how we use and what we do with money is a direct barometer for our spiritual hearts. When we lavish our money on ourselves and do not invest in God's work, we reveal what's going on in our heart. When we choose to invest in things that are temporal and don't care about the things that are eternal, we reveal what's going on in the heart. We reveal where we are. It's a spiritual decision. Some people think that the only spiritual decision that we have that deals with money is when that plate comes around. But folks, if everything belongs to God, and every ability that we have to earn money, every ability we have to invest money, even that ability we have to to pinch every penny and save money comes from God. And when we recognize this, when it comes down to making whatever decision it is, whether it's in giving, whether it's in investing, whether it's in spending, whether it's in purchasing for other things, it's all a stewardship decision, a spiritual decision. And that's why it's so incredible that we start this concept of recognizing who we are. We are stewards of God. If we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, He has given us an opportunity to serve Him. He has given us an opportunity to use our life for His glory. He's given us an opportunity to use His possessions, what He owns, to be used for Him. He has given us this opportunity so that we can be successful. Again, I bring you back to Joseph. Joseph, from the eyes of his brothers, was not successful. Oh, he dreamed big dreams. They hated his dreams. But I can imagine them laughing on occasion out in the field. Oh, I wonder what's going to come of Joseph's dream. I wonder what he's doing over there in Egypt. Maybe he's digging a hole right now. Maybe he's, over there fanning some Pharaoh, or maybe he's doing this or that. But the last thing they had on their mind, that Joseph was being successful and that God was using him in great and mighty ways. And folks, maybe sometimes we have that same kind of attitude for ourselves when we decide to submit ourselves under God. And the people of the world look at us and say, oh, you're not very successful. Look at you. You're all tied into that church. And you go there, and they open the doors and you go. They pass a plate and you give. You know, you're not very successful. But you know, who are we more concerned about? Are we more concerned about what God thinks? About His possessions and His provisions and His purposes? Or are we more concerned about what other people think? Are we more concerned about what others will think of us in regard to our success? And I trust that we all will recognize that the things that we have here belong to God. We're accountable to take care of them. And there's going to be a lot of extra responsibilities caring for these extra rooms and things along that line. It's not only going to take efforts of cleaning and such, it's going to take efforts to make sure that we can maintain it financially. It's going to take efforts to maintain our ministries and keep on reaching out. The more room we have, the more people we can bring in. The more people we bring in, the more people we have to minister to. The more people we have to minister to, the more it's going to take for us to minister. We have to realize that those things are all in God's design to please Him for His purpose. Are we, are you, am I a successful steward? Am I working with God's possessions? Or am I hanging on to them and wanting God to bless my possessions? Am I recognizing they're His and saying they're His, but He has given me the privilege of being responsible for them and to use them, because then He can empower me? Folks, if you are hanging on to things and calling them your possessions, He will not empower you. He will not. You will be competing with God. So let Him have it. Let Him have what belongs to Him and let Him work through you. Are you working by God's provisions? Are you recognizing that it's by God's grace we can do what we do? Or has pride crept in to where we say, this is my time, this is my sweat, this is my work, this is my effort? Or do we recognize that without God's grace, we could be laying on our back incapable of anything? Without God's grace, we'd be totally submarined and incapable of investing or using that which He's given to us. We are able to do what we are able to do because of God's provisions. And are you a successful steward? Are you working for God's purposes? Are you desiring for His kingdom? Are you desiring to use things that might glorify Him? Are you that caught up into pleasing Him that when you think of His possessions as His provisions, that you can't help but think, this isn't so much about me and what I want, this is what God wants? Folks, I'd have to say that this is a prime time for Satan to intermingle amongst us and cause a lot of problems. This is a great time to attack a church. And the way in which he attacks is in the way in which he is. He's a liar and he's proud. And what he wants to do is keep us thinking about things that are lies, and that would be that we have some kind of ownership to things, and that we are something that is prideful, and he will continue to play that tune and cause us to become divided. Kind of interesting, if you look in that 1 Peter 5:8, where it talks about watch out for the devil, comes right after be sure to be humble. Satan likes to use pride. Folks, it is exciting. It is so exciting to have this day. It is so exciting to have that building behind us and think about the things God can do with that. But let us not get out of understanding it's by God and for God. Father, I come to you in prayer and I thank you so much for the time you've given to us to worship together. Lord, I thank you for using me as your vessel, and Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word. And Lord, I ask that you might take your word and allow it to impact our hearts. Father, I ask that you might indeed encourage us to recognize where we are in the scene of things. That we are stewards, servants of yours, to give our lives, to give our energy, to give all, to recognize because it's all yours. It's not mine. It's Jesus's, and Jesus sharing. Father, I pray that you would help us as a church to be careful not to get into territorial attitudes. Help us not to get into possessive attitudes. Help us not to get into prideful attitudes. Help us instead to be dependent upon you and desirous to recognize that our purpose here is to reach people for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to equip them so that they can reproduce and be disciple makers so the trend can continue on. Thank you for this privilege of being able to share your word today. And I pray, Father, that we might have a full confidence of a relationship with you and that we might recognize you indeed are the one who has made all things and the one who owns all things. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.